And welcome into the Friday edition of Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Hope everybody's doing well. We got a whole lot to get to today here on the program. Big win for the Preds last night. We'll get to that here in just a few minutes. We'll have Titans outside linebacker Bud Dupree joining the show at 7:30. Teron Davenport, our man talking Titans at 8 o'clock. Tony Vitello, Tennessee Volunteers baseball coach, coming on with us at 8:30, and then Blake Topmeyer from USA Today to break down Tennessee and Georgia at 9 o'clock. So a lot to get to on the program here today, and as always, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good. That pre-show meeting, man, I mean, hours in the making. I think we've crafted a really good show.
I thought Narduzzi and Izzo were particularly energetic this morning.
Yeah, well, you know, one of them's got a season starting. One of them's really needs a win here. So I think that's part of it. So, but I appreciate the energy they still pour into the show.
I do as well, Michelle. Good morning. How we doing?
Guys, great Friday. This week flew by. Just in a great mood today. It's awesome.
That's good. Good.
Yeah. I've been sleeping.
It's a complete roundabout from where she was on Monday. It's good stuff.
Listen, I've been sleeping in the last month since I moved on. First, a broken box spring, and then a bed frame that didn't fit the bed just because moving, and we broke stuff, and finally got a real one last night.
There we go.
A real box spring, yeah. And a frame that fits the bed, and let me tell you, it is a game changer when you sleep in a bed that is actually not broken.
Now we're talking.
Yeah, great night of sleep.
Nice. You're so happy, you're almost making me uncomfortable.
No, like, literally, I have not slept in, like, a month and a half, so this is great. It's a great day.
Michelle, Izzo, and Narduzzi, lots of energy this morning. Goodness. Rex Road and Stanley need to pick it up here.
Yes. What we can do. Yes, yes. Got to try to match this.
That's right. The Nashville Predators get a W on the board last night, Joe Rex Road. They win 4-1, the final score in Calgary. Kevin Lankinen in net for the Predators last night, played pretty well. I let the Predators, especially for the first two periods, defended really well last night against Calgary. And you look down, it was bad on Tuesday. You respond on Thursday against a good team, a different type of team, but a good team, and you win 4-1. That was a big one last night for the Predators. Forsberg with a goal and an assist in the game. Your boy Matt Duchene gets a goal and assist too, the empty netter, to
it counts.
Bring things up a little bit later in Preds picked a click, so you, me, and Michelle all at 2. The listeners are now at 3, so they're in first place in the competition. Mark Jankowski called up yesterday by the Predators.
You know what's going to happen.
And he scores.
You know what's going to happen.
Rolls right in there, scores the first goal of the game against his former team in the Calgary Flames, and the Predators get a big W last night.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like maybe like 8 minutes left in the second, I think Calgary had like 11 shots or something. I mean, and it just looked like a more focused and together smart team, you know. And that's a big part of it, just not the big mistakes. I mean, John Hines talked about it with us yesterday on the show. I mean, effort was never a thing here. Production from main people is a thing here. Got that last night. But also just decisions. You know, decisions with the puck, D-zone coverage, communication, all that stuff, knowing where you're supposed to be. They looked a lot better last night. That stuff makes a big difference.
Well, and don't look now, but the power play in the last two games, 3 of 6. So, you know, that's
a
very
like a thing.
Small sample size, 3 of 6. I realize that, but, you know, it was rough to begin the season, and it looks like they're starting to turn things around a little bit on the power play. Josi gets on the board last night, and, you know, John Hines told us yesterday he feels like his game's coming along. It was good to see him, I thought, play pretty well, not just offensively, because I'm never really worried about Roman Josi offensively. He's going to make plays. I don't think he's been very good defensively so far this year, and some of that's on him. Some of that's on just the revolving door it's been with kind of the D pair so far. I thought he was really good defensively last night. And Jordan Gross comes in, Dante Fabro, a healthy scratch, Eli Tolvanen, a healthy scratch, Cody Glass, a healthy scratch. We'll get to all that here in just a second. But I thought defensively, I said heading into the season, that's how this team has to win. I think everybody expects and expected the production from Forsberg, Duchene, and Josi, like to act like that they're going to replicate what they did a year ago. to me was pretty far-fetched, and we talked about that. But could you, in the aggregate, prevent more goals, and therefore your goal differential looks a little bit better? That was kind of the formula for this team. And to begin the season, I mean, obviously you gave up 7 to Edmonton the other night. That's not helping that formula. Last night's kind of the way they have to play in terms of making sure you're defending first, making good decisions with the puck, and when you do get offensive opportunities, you capitalize on it, and that's what the Predators did last night.
Yeah, and I must say, Lankanen pretty consistently
pretty good.
Has been pretty good. So there's a there's something I know I was wrong about, but I mean the initial reaction when they signed it was like, huh, why, huh? But obviously they have some information.
They do.
In these organizations beyond what we have with our websites. Also, I thought Jordan Gross actually looked pretty good on power play too.
He did.
But it's also still like the big picture of Glass, Fabro, Tolvanen healthy scratched at this point in the season with Tomasino in Milwaukee. It's still like, my gosh.
It is concerning. And I said this last night, you know, the Cody Glass thing, he's in a weird spot because I don't think he's ready to be a top six forward, and I've said that. And then based on the two games he was in there, I mean, he's just not. He's not ready to be a top six forward. So you're just going to trap him on the fourth line? Like, he's kind of an interesting one to me. Like, every time Elli Tolvanen gets scratched, some of this fan base acts like the Predators are scratching Connor McDavid. And I was talking about this on Twitter last night. Like, at what point with Tolvanen, and I'm going to throw Fabro in that conversation as well, like, at what point with these guys are they just what they are? And look, you can have whatever opinion you want to have on John Hines. That's fine. You know, you and I think have been a little bit more patient with the John Hines things than a lot of the Predators fan base has been, and all that's fine. But to act like Elli Tolvanen and Dante Fabro have not been given opportunity – to me, is factually incorrect. I mean, Elli Tolvanen spent more than half the season last year in the top six, and he spent part of this season in the top six. And the fact of the matter is, you can point to whatever underlying number you want to point to, and you can point to him getting better away from the puck, which he has. But he's not been productive. I've talked about this before, and I looked it up again last night. It's basically about a 15-game sample size in his career, most of which came on the power play, by the way, so not even at 5-on-5, where he's looked like, okay, you could have something as a top six forward there. That's it. Other than that, there's zero evidence that he's a top six forward. So everybody kind of keeps waiting. And what have we heard? I mean, John Hines said it yesterday with Fabro. We're looking on Fabro and Carrier to take the next step. And I got to thinking, I was like, all right, so – 2 years ago, Fabro was a healthy scratch in the playoffs against Carolina. Last year, the theme after the season was, we need Fabro and Carrier to take the next step. And I've said this, if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times. You can't convince me that they go get Ryan McDonagh if they felt like Fabro and Carrier were long-term answers in the top four. And now here we are 11 games in, and last night, Fabro's a healthy scratch. Like, at what point are these guys just what they are?
Yeah. Well, I think it's – well, I do think with those two guys, it's a little different. You know, Carrier 2 years ago was a huge surprise, positive surprise, right?
I would agree.
He's exceeded, I'd say, his sort of profile or what people thought as he was coming through the organization.
Right, but Fabro and Tolvanen.
Yes. Yeah, no, for sure. And it's still – like, I mean, I think with – probably I would still separate those two a little bit with Fabro. I feel like that, like he just has, like, the skill level – potentially that he could be, I've thought this, that he could be something more. But, yeah, I don't know. It's, you asked the question. I mean, it's a good question. I don't know at what point. We got to be getting closer to it, though, because it's, if you're still struggling to stay in the lineup and hold the trust of your coaching staff and just be consistent, then, yeah, at some point maybe the ceiling isn't as high as I thought it was.
Well, and I'm not even saying that those two guys don't deserve to be in the lineup, because I understand if you're a Predators fan looking around and saying, all right, well, you got Jeremy Lozon in the lineup over Dante Fabro, or you've got Cole Smith playing over Elli Tolvanen, or Zach Sanford in the top six over Elli Tolvanen. Like, I get those. Like, those are valid points, and I understand that. But I don't understand, like, just the Predators fan out there that says, well, Tolvanen, he just has been given no opportunity. How could you expect him to produce?
Yeah, that's
no. Have you seen it? He's been on the power play basically his whole time here, and he's been in the top six. Like, you can say, you can think whatever you want to think about John Hines and the way he coaches the team. That's fine. There's a ton of different opinions on that, but it's very discouraging to me that we're 11 games in, and this is, I think, the third game that Ellie Tolvanen's been a healthy scratch, and now Dante Fabro's added to the list as well. Like, when you're still getting healthy scratched at this point in your career, it's not good.
No. No, again, look, I know some people will want to just put it all on Hines.
Of course. Right?
And so, you know, if that it's kind of like the if every time a Titans offensive play doesn't work, it's because Todd Downing screwed up his job. If you want to believe that, you can. You can talk yourself into that. But I think you have to look at these individual players and say one of two things or some combination, not as good as they were supposed to be or not developing the way they were supposed to develop.
But the bottom line is you're the Predators. You get a win last night. You're 4-6-1. You're taking on a Vancouver team coming up tomorrow night, late night on the West Coast, that has struggled thus far. Vancouver is
not good.
Not good. I'm trying to find their exact record. They've 3-6-2. So they were, I think, 0-6-1 at one point. So they've rebounded a little bit here lately. But taking on a team that you can absolutely beat. So you look at their road trip after you beat Calgary last night. You got Vancouver coming up Saturday. You got the Kraken coming up after that, who have gotten off to a pretty decent start so far this year. And then you got Colorado coming off their trip to Europe. You know, some interesting games coming up for the Predators nonetheless. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. We'll take your thoughts on the Preds. We'll also look ahead to Tennessee and Georgia coming up next as well. Who are some X factors for the Vols in this game on offense and on the defensive side of the ball? We'll get to that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda J. Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio on this Friday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. By the way, we did not comment on the football game last night. Congratulations to the Eagles for beating the Texans. Way to go.
Watched a little of that. Congratulations to me also in the Robbie and Rex Road Fantasy League because Dallas Goedert, Good guy to have, Damian Pierce. So, Alex Shearer, you might be in some trouble, buddy. Did someone beat Big Baller Goat last week at least? I hope.
I don't know.
I beat Brennan, and that's about it. I suck.
Well, that's Big Baller Goat, and he needs to go. He needs to lose. He needs to lose more. Let's work on that.
Shout out to our friends at Third and Home, Germantown's Bar with the Ballpark, for our Fantasy Football League sponsorship. We appreciate them.
Yes.
Joe, looking at this game between Tennessee and Georgia coming up tomorrow, obviously we have gone up and down this matchup this week in terms of the receivers and the DBs for Georgia and both offensive and defensive lines, and I think we've talked about just about every position thus far in this matchup between Tennessee and Georgia. So as we're here on the eve of game day between the Vols and the Bulldogs, who are some X factors that kind of catch your attention as you look at this matchup between Tennessee and Georgia? And I'll start with one on the defensive side of the ball, just because as they get healthier, I'm interested to see where he plays and what he looks like. What's going on?
I don't. The camera snapped off the thing. So if you're watching the live stream, it's Blair Witch Project time. Okay.
Anyway, Danico Slaughter, my X factor for the balls on the defensive side of the football. They had him playing corner last week. He did talk about how he doesn't really like playing corner after the game. Josh Heupel has said a couple of different times this week, this could be the healthiest the Vols have been on that side of the ball heading into the game. So, interesting to see what they'll do there on the defensive side of things. But Slaughter made a couple big plays last week. Interested to see what sort of an impact he has on this game in this matchup with the tight ends that Georgia has.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. You know, I don't know how they're going to align. I think I would go with Slaughter at corner again, and I'd probably go with Charles, although you could even make the case that Turnage, I mean, he's been playing pretty well lately too. So I don't know what they're going to do there. But as far as dealing with the tight ends, I mean, they don't have any, you know, nobody matches up with him. Nobody matches up with Brock Bowers.
No.
You know, it's just how it is. They have two tight ends who are going to be pros. You know, Brock Bowers is more of the, you know, the speed guy. Now I'm forgetting the name of the guy who's humongous. If you've watched Georgia play,
Washington.
Yes. Yeah. Darnell Washington is, you know, just massive, and they use them both a lot. So, you know, there's not great matchups for them. You know,
Darnell Washington is 6'7", 269 pounds.
Yeah. And he runs fast. Yeah. I mean, it's silly. No, like, so we had this, I've never done this before. We had a live room yesterday with all friends of the show. Ubbin, Schultz, and Emerson, and me, and Schultz, who's been covering sports for, you know, 97 years, was like, I've never seen a pro or college team with two tight ends that are, like, this good at the same time. Like, you just don't see it. So, you start there. Now, they don't really have the deep threat, you know, with is it A.D. Mitchell hurt, right?
Yeah.
You know, and now there's like, you know, who knows? Maybe he comes back this week, but they haven't had that. But, you know, Ladd McConkey is one of those really quick off the line guys, really good after the catch. Yeah, to me, it's so much about on that side of the ball. It's so much about the running game and whether Tennessee can actually get a handle on the run game. How many teams have just lined up and run at Tennessee? I mean, Gibbs broke some,
yep,
for Alabama, but he also they really mucked it up in there a lot of times when Alabama was just trying to grind them out. Pittsburgh got the one big run, not a ton else. And I don't think anybody else is. Yeah, and some of this is situational too, because Tennessee puts teams in a bind where they're. I mean, I think maybe Kentucky runs it better Saturday, if like they don't let the score get away from them. They did, but they did, right? So that's so if this is a close game back and forth, can Georgia like just run it right at Tennessee like nobody else has? Maybe. I think this is the best offensive line they've faced.
Well, I think what Seth Emerson brought up yesterday is pretty interesting. Like, how is Georgia going to want to attack this game? Are they going to want to run it as much as possible and try to, you know, kind of run it down the throats of Tennessee? Or do they look at that secondary and think, we could have some opportunity there, throwing the football down the field? And, you know, how that relates to Stetson Bennett and the year that he's had. He started off really well, been a little less consistent lately. I'm interested to see, like, what the approach from Georgia will be in this game.
Yeah.
It's more of a pro-style offense, but it's also not the same offense that Kentucky threw out there last week either.
Yeah. I mean, look, they've been – we've talked some about this, but, yeah, you know, they certainly have – you know, Todd Monken has come in there and they've opened things up, and it's, you think about when it was like, oh, Georgia can't get over the hump, you know.
Yep.
So you think of like the guy who somehow beat out Justin Fields as quarterback,
Jake Fromm.
Yes, the Jake Fromm offenses. Oh, just painful, man. And it's like you have five stars everywhere, all yep, over this team. And this is what you're going to do. So they've opened it up. They're still, you know, it's still like, well, Kentucky last week. That was some of the subtext last week. You know, a lot of the talk of Kentucky going to real football. That was one thing. Will Levis, real football, which Heupel kind of gave a little reference after the game. Yeah, yeah. It looked like real ball out there.
And looked worked out well.
Yeah. I mean, you got to be innovative, and it's okay to, like, get the ball to athletes in space too. So Georgia does that, and they usually get the ball out quickly. Look, I thought Stetson Bennett was – I mean, he was my guy. I was like, why isn't he a Heisman candidate early in the year? Like, with the way he looked against Oregon in, like, early games, and then the Missouri game happened, they've kind of been good but not consistently great since then. So some of this also, if you talk about, like, just an X factor, is Georgia the team that for this game, like, it all comes together? You know, like, have they kind of just been somewhat sleepwalking? I don't know. And they lost so many great players from last year, but they have guys with the right profiles to replace them.
On offense for Tennessee, some X factors that come to mind. I mean, you know, guys like Hendon Hooker and Jalin Hyatt don't count.
Yes.
We know that they're going to be pretty important in
tight
this
ends.
I'll tell you one.
Okay.
You're going to love it from me. Princeton Fant.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Joe Milton.
No.
Yeah, Princeton tight ends. Fant. I agree, man. Absolutely.
Well, he's turned into like yes, he's the tight end, but he's kind of turned into like the glorified fullback for the team, too.
Taysom Hill.
He's got four rushing touchdowns in the past like 3 weeks.
I mean, around the goal line. That's the thing. You know, Jalin Wright's a powerful runner.
Yeah.
And I mean, Jabari Small, he'll get in there fast. You know, I mean, neither of them are, little pixies running around the field. But yeah. It's nice to have a big actual like power runner around the goal line.
Yeah.
So no, I think the tight ends.
The football. I mean, Princeton Fant may sling it out there. You never know.
Yes, and he's mostly caught it this year.
Mostly.
I mean, you haven't had to tweet, subtweet him. Yeah.
No, there was no subtweet. He was there.
Well, except, but did you actually tag him?
No, but I'm not, tagging every player.
Oh, believe me. But technically, that means you're subtweeting,
I guess,
right?
So.
Yeah, if you don't tag them. Oh, believe me. Thankfully, Kaharski stopped doing that. He used to do that. Like, when I first got here, like, he'd be watching a game, he'd be like, at Jarrell Casey just missed a tackle. Wow, that you really stink at Jarrell Casey. Yeah, like, what are you doing? Why? Why do you do that? It's so, yeah. So, I mean, technically it's subtweeting, but whatever.
I guess I'm a subtweeter then.
Yeah. I mean, real subtweeting, I guess, is not mentioning the name at all.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say.
But I think, isn't it right, though? If you don't tag them, technically that's what it is. Sort of.
I guess.
I don't know. Either way.
I mean, if you say the name, I think that's
I'm in violation.
Correct.
That's fine. I mean, Princeton Fant found
him. He's found him.
He found him. And, so, you know, it's interesting. He's played really well since then. I don't know if that's a coincidence or not.
You're welcome, Tennessee fans.
He's a good X factor. I mean, look, the interior of Tennessee's offensive line, okay? They don't have – Georgia is not loaded all over the place like before, but Jalin Carter is – he might be a top 10 pick. He's good enough to possibly, you know, to just blow up a lot of stuff that you want to do that Tennessee has done with no problem against other teams. So, Spraggins, Mays, Carvin – big test for them. Biggest test of the year.
We'll have more on the Tennessee and Georgia matchup coming up next. Got more of your thoughts to get to on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. And Rex Rhodes got a problem with some of the narrative from Georgia fans heading into this game. We'll get to that coming up next as well. I mean, I do want to go to break, but also you're over here holding this video camera. Yeah. And I just kind of want to leave you doing it as long as possible as well.
How's it look, Michelle?
It's looking great on the video
stream. Does it look good? Okay, good.
Yes.
Johnny's sending me the Blair Witch Project video, and thank you.
We'll have more on that coming up next, but first, Michelle Knezvik has a word from Superbook Sportsbook.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Robbie. Speaking of this Tennessee-Georgia game, coming in this week, Tennessee is an 8-point underdog. Listen, I'm taking Tennessee plus the 8. I think this is going to be a close game. I'm also going to take Tennessee on the money line. I think that they beat this Georgia team. And listen, you could do Hendon Hooker over on throwing it, passing yards. You could do Jalin Hyatt an anytime touchdown. But listen, football is not the only thing happening right now. We got basketball, hockey, and soon enough the World Cup. Also throwing a little postseason baseball in there. And there's no better place to wager on all of that than Superbook Sports. When you sign up, deposit, and wager all in the same day, Superbook will give you a bonus up to $1,000. When the sports world is busy, it is busy to get winning some money. So download the Superbook Sportsbook app or visit superbook.com to wager and win today. Visit superbook.com for terms and conditions. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezvik here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Be sure to follow us on Instagram at 1025 The Game Nashville. Joe Rex Road, a big Instagram guy, so make sure you check it out at 1025 The Game Nashville on Instagram.
I mean, maybe I'll get on Insta. I mean, I may have to be getting off Twitter here pretty soon, right?
Maybe so.
It's looking a little dicey over
Listen,
Twitter.
Maybe that Blair Witch Project video will be on Insta soon.
Maybe so.
Could I do a story with that? Would that be a story?
It'd be a post.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
So or you story, can make a reel.
You like, could.
Story, reel, and post. These are all Insta?
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds like a good time over there.
Michelle Knezovic has tweeted out the video of the camera losing its mind. Joe Rex wrote in the last segment. It's beautiful. Yes, not quite is. Halloween anymore, but it does kind of put you in the Halloween spirit.
I'm watching it now. Oh, boy. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to anybody who got nauseous.
Props for Robbie for just really just going straight narrow, and then it was like.
It was over.
Are you good, Joe?
Know what was going on over there.
That's the moment it snapped.
Well, we got it all figured out. Go. It's good to go here on this program. So, Joe, there's a narrative out there from some Georgia fans, some media, heading into this game between Tennessee and Georgia that you're going to call out here on this program. What are we seeing this week leading up to this matchup?
Well, it's first of all, there was a – so these this live room, I don't know, is that a – is that just a thing that we do at The Athletic, or is that like a – I know that there's like Twitter spaces. I've done one of those too. It's – I don't know. But anyway, it's basically like, you know, people can come in and talk. But also there's a running chat, you know. So the chat got very, you know, some Tennessee and Georgia fans going back and forth. Like, can't wait till you get exposed and all this stuff. You know, I don't know. You know, Tennessee fans like, well, if these teams – you know, you landed on Earth from Mars and watched both these teams. I had no idea who they were. Who would you pick? You know, the Tennessee's clearly better. Whatever. But the one thing that I have heard, I think Seth kind of said it on the show, but it kind of came back up yesterday is, you know, Georgia, you know, stop the run and then see what you can do, you know, against their passing game. That's and there was a lot of that Georgia fans like, well, they're not running for a yard on this defense, you know. And again, that's just where I think it's just like, but it's not. It's inverted, and I don't know that I buy that at all. We'll see. If you can completely dominate their offensive line with your light box, then okay. But it's not like Tennessee comes out and says, okay, like we're going to run the ball, try to get it to third and three, and then, you know, I mean, Tennessee throws bombs on first down, and then they'll run on third and nine and get it. But, yeah. I mean, it's not the traditional stopping the run game that you think it is because of what they do. So I just, you know, I think there's a little bit of a rude awakening that's coming on that front. On the whole thing with Georgia's defense, I could be wrong, but the more this game approaches, the more I really wonder what Georgia's going to do to stop Tennessee. They have really good players, but they don't have dominant first rounders all over the field like they did last year.
Well, and I think you brought it up. Stopping the run with Tennessee, it's different than just lining up and bringing eight guys in the box and blitzing. I mean, you can do that if you want to. Probably not going to go very well for you in the passing game for Tennessee if you do that. So, to your point, like if you can dominate with a light box, then you got a chance. I look at Tennessee's offensive line, and I'm not saying they're going to like totally dominate Georgia's defensive front in this game. But I also don't expect them to just get totally caved in because they've not done that yet this far. I mean, they didn't get caved in against Alabama. They've not get caved in against anybody else. I don't know why they just all of a sudden get caved in on every play now. So, I mean, Georgia's going to have its moments where they stop the run tomorrow. They're going to have their moments probably where they make some stops against the offense as a whole. But I think what you've talked about all week is something that's really interesting. Can anybody actually stop this offense? Or can you just slow it down to the point where, you know, your offense is able to keep up on the other side? I mean, that's really the thing. Like, the more I look at this, Joe, the more I will be shocked. Like, we've heard, and Seth brought this up yesterday, and Dennis Dodd brought it up earlier this week, talking about how, like, if you could keep Tennessee in the 20s, you could win the game. I was like, well, yeah, probably, but I just don't see really either team being limited to the 20s in this game. I think we're getting into the 30s at least, and I'm halfway tempted to lean into the 40s.
Yeah, every time I feel like – I swear when I know for sure the kind of game it'll be, it's like the other kind of game. But, yeah, it's been pretty consistently that kind of game, at least when Tennessee has the ball, right? So I'm with you. Like this idea of like, yeah, like 28-26, was that Dodd's prediction? I'm like, boy, I don't know, man. I like again, I don't think either defense is holding them under 30. I don't think so. And I'm with you. I lean toward 40. So here comes, you know, the ridiculous 17-16 game. It's hard to imagine how that would even happen. Like I don't you know, things can happen. You can have a bunch of mistakes and drop passes and turnovers and stuff like that. But I, you know, just stopping Tennessee from just operating their offense the way they want to is so hard. And it is. You can do it if you can just whip them up front. But that's where I think that's one of the underrated things about this team. Maybe the most underrated thing about this. I mean, you could look at the defense too. It's better than – I mean, the defense actually is pretty similar in profile to LSU's in 2019. I mean, it's actually stunningly close in a lot of those numbers, which you wouldn't think. Now, that team, that defense still had more high-end talent, like NFL, right? You even had, like, Stingley as a freshman and, yep, you know. But either the defense or, you know, the both lines for Tennessee, I think, are better than people realize.
Chris on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says 6-3 Georgia, the final score.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's get after it.
I actually will leave the stadium angry if that's what I have to watch.
I think it may be
a 6-3 game. I'll be barking at people angrily
for the first drive for both teams.
Yeah. Please don't, Joe.
Lance on the text line says, what about stopping the Georgia run game? Bennett has more yards than Hooker.
Okay, so wait, are we talking about two different things there? You're talking about passing yards. Bennett has more passing yards. Yeah, that's true. The efficiency numbers are very different. I mean, Bennett's really good. I mean, again, early in the year, my little Heisman poll, he was number one for me for a couple weeks. Yeah, he has like 11 more passing yards. Yeah, no, look, that's a great question. I don't know. We were just talking about that last segment. Tennessee really hasn't been consistently run on. How much of that is situational because they get the score separated on people? Pittsburgh had success. They had one big, like, 75-yard touchdown run. Abanikanda had a good day. But other than that, he didn't, you know, I'll have to go back and look at that. But, again, Pittsburgh had the most success, really, both ways in terms of running the ball against Tennessee. 91 yards allowed to them. I think it's the only team that – well, I know it is. The only team that's outrushed them this year. The Alabama game, I think that's the most – that's the game that informs – most, I think, about this game in terms of you got a very talented offensive line. You got maybe the most talented running back in the country in Jahmyr Gibbs. And he had a good day, and he had some ridiculous plays, but he didn't consistently find seams and lanes inside on that defense.
No, I mean, he made some big plays in the game, but Tennessee's defensive front is good. Like, look, I think – it was important to see Tennessee's defense play really well last week against Kentucky. I still don't think that they've just, like, magically figured things out in the secondary. I still think they got some problems in the secondary and that Georgia's going to be able to expose them a little bit in the passing game. So I think that's absolutely on the table coming up. But Tennessee's run defense has been pretty good all year. And like you said, you know, Byron Young getting after the passer is one thing, but he's good in the running game. Amari Thomas is good in the running game. They've got some guys there that have played really well and have generated some push all year. This is probably the best – I mean, I guess it's the best offensive line they've gone up against. I mean, yeah, Alabama's pretty good. But this is probably the best offensive line that they've gone up against. So can you generate that push on a consistent basis in this game? And as we know, Jeremy Banks is going to be blitzing a lot. It's what he does every game. He'll be blitzing a lot in this one, too.
Yes. And, you know, Pittsburgh, by the way, you know, Pittsburgh, disappointing season for sure, but their offensive line is one of the better offensive lines, too, in terms of, you know, talent, a bunch of fifth-year seniors. They had the 75-yarder, so other than that, they had 38 carries. So on the day, they were 39 for 141, 3-6 a carry. Take away the 75-yarder, and you're at, like, 66 yards on 38 carries. Now, 38 carries, so their whole thing was, fine, we're still going to just bleed clock every chance we get. But that's you'll take that if you're Tennessee. You just can't give up the big one. And, no, I mean, McIntosh is really good. I mean, Georgia, I think yesterday one of the guys, I think Ubbin said, like, if you tell me McIntosh gets to, like, you know, like a 24-carry, 120-yard kind of game or something like that, then I really like Georgia's chances to win this game.
Josh from Nashville on the text line says, Tennessee had pretty decent success at getting at Bryce Young. He was versatile enough to break out of some of the potential sacks. Stetson Bennett is not as mobile, and I believe Tennessee's defense will have a little bit more success. This is from Josh from Nashville.
I've thought of that too. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a few plays that only Bryce Young makes to get out of trouble. I mean, just, I
agreed.
Mean,
now, Stetson Bennett is not a statue back there either.
No, but he's not like he's not a gnat right who's just like bouncing around and like somehow has eyes in the back of his head. You know, I mean, that he did some ridiculous. Okay, yeah. Watch that autocorrect there, Josh. Break out of some of the potential sex. That's a 6 a.m. hour. I mean, I assume you meant sex there. Speaking of that,
alrighty,
all right. I have a point to make on sacks. When we come back,
we'll do that. Coming up next, 615-737-1025. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063. The game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063. The game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Friday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to Tennessee and Georgia coming up tomorrow. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rex Road, there was a point about sacks that you wanted to make coming off the last segment. The floor is now yours.
Well, we all like sacks. Yeah. No, so... the sack thing with Georgia is interesting because this is one of those things where I defer to people who watch them. I mean, I've watched them a lot this year, but you know, not like Tennessee, obviously, right? And so that was brought up too by Tennessee fans and has been brought up, and it's, and you brought it up this week. I mean, it's incredible that their numbers would be that low. But Seth, again, it's like, it's not, pass rush is not a problem. Has not been a problem. Now Nolan Smith's out. So, now, Beal's in for him. Beal led the team in sacks last year. Probably a lot of people could have, but so I'm gonna look at that as an oddity. According, you know, apparently, I don't know, Kirby Smart at one point came with some stat that like teams get the ball out faster than against any other team because they are afraid of their pass rush. So, bottom line, I wouldn't look at this game as a, or this matchup because of their sack numbers as an easy stand back there all day and pick out your target situation. That said, again, it's you better get fast pressure with four. I mean, you know, and again, I think that probably leans on Jalen Carter as much as anyone. You better have people who are just winning immediately. If you want to actually bother Hendon Hooker in that pocket. We have not seen much of that this year.
We have not.
I mean, Will Anderson, you know, top 10 pick, top 5 pick?
According to Mel Kiper, he's the number one pro prospect right now.
Okay. And that's fine.
Top 5 pick.
He's a great player. We've all seen him be a great player. I watched Darnell Wright just wall him off all day.
Yeah.
So, that doesn't mean, you know, different matchups. I think, again, that was an edge player is your primary focus. Now you have an interior player, and we know how a great interior player in this town, we know what that can mean for your pass rush. So, Jalen Carter, can he wreck the game tomorrow?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question. And speaking of Mel Kiper, have you seen, like, the mock draft / quarterback rankings that he's come out with so far this year?
Yeah, so are you celebrating back there, Michelle?
I am celebrating because Vols fans get so mad that Will Levis is above Hendon Hooker. Just let us have it. You guys are winning. I would much rather be winning.
It's not the only quarterback Will Levis is in front of in this ranking by Mel Kiper, but yeah.
Yeah.
He's also in front of Bryce Young.
Whatever, just let us have it.
Oh, is that right? I didn't realize that. So
his top 5 prospects, he's got Stroud at 3, Levis at 4, and Bryce Young at 5.
Okay, overall prospects. Okay, okay.
Correct.
Right. So his top 3 quarterbacks are Stroud, Levis, Young. Yeah. Well, look, first of all, I feel like Tennessee fans, and granted, I follow, you know, a segment of the safe segment of all Twitter.
It's very safe.
The tiny little island of safeness. And there's just so much anger right now about this. First of all, like you can't be that shocked. I understand it. Like I've said it, I would take Hooker over Levis, but Levis has traits that are very appealing, and I'm not sitting here convinced that he can't be a really good NFL quarterback. There's plenty of Josh Allen had some moments in college, not to mention just he was an arm punter who was totally inaccurate, but he was the size, the athleticism, the big arm, okay? Well, I thought he was going to suck. I thought it was going to be a joke of a pick for Buffalo. And there were times, and he played Iowa and looked like an absolute, like, this dude, that dude is a high pick? Really? Okay, well, what's Josh Allen now? So, look, 5 years from now, if we're talking about Will Levis in a good situation, developing and becoming a good NFL quarterback, it won't be shocking. He has the tools to do that. I don't understand why Vols fans are so mad about this. Who cares? You just beat them 44-6. You're playing for a national championship.
That's what I'm saying. You're winning.
Yeah, who cares? I mean, it's not linear, okay? It's not linear that you do this in college. I mean, someone asked, was it Greenberg? Somebody asked Kuiper. I saw what Kuiper said about Hooker. And they're like, what does this game mean? He's like, well, it's one game. This game doesn't mean anything it's what you are as a player. But Kuiper thinks Hooker is like a low first round pick potentially now. Yeah. So, I mean, he's played his way into that situation, which is way beyond, 14 months ago, he's a guy who may never have been a starting college quarterback, let alone someone anyone in the NFL would have cared about. I just don't understand why you're wasting your time on Twitter with worrying that Will Levis is still considered a good pro prospect. Who cares?
Well, there's another guy for the Vols that, according to Mel Kiper, he could be a very high pick.
Jalen Hyatt. Oh, yeah.
He's like 14th. He's his 14th overall prospect.
Well, he's not alone on that one. No. I think Jalen Hyatt, first-round pick, is a very – in fact, I mean, look, right now, if you ask me who's more likely to be a first-round pick, I'd go Hyatt over Hooker.
I would agree.
So –
there's a lot of – well, we talked about the offensive line. Like, Kuiper came out with, like, his top 10 positions at each spot in terms of, like, the prospects there. And Darnell Wright's in there at tackle. Who else was in there? I was looking at this yesterday. Oh, yeah. Jerome Carvin is in there at guard. I mean, there's a lot of Tennessee players that, with the seasons that they've had, have made their way into – some pretty elite categories in the mock draft community. Not that really means anything heading into this game, but it kind of just shows you the year that they're having.
Well, Carvin, I just my observations, but I would expect Carvin and Spraggins.
Yeah.
I think Mays has, like, I think all those guys have a chance, but I think they've all made themselves money. Starting with Wright. Wright looks like an NFL right tackle who could be pretty good for you.
When I mentioned Stroud, Levis, and Young, prospects 3, 4, and 5 for Kuiper, Will Anderson's number one, and Jalen Carter is number two, who is returning for Georgia this week at defensive tackle.
Well, there you go. So you got to, they handled the number one prospect. Now they get the number two prospect.
Yep.
But it's the interior guys who have to deal with him. So how does that look? I mean, no one, Pittsburgh has Kalijah Kancey. I don't know where he rates. It's a different kind of player. He's more of a three technique quick guy in there, but they did a good job against him. He wrecked the game more last year in Knoxville. But Carter he's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, and that could be a couple stops tomorrow that you could just put on him. Blow up a couple plays, get a punt out of it. Any stops you get against Tennessee, now you're ahead of the chains.
I got a texter that says Georgia's been sleepwalking the first few quarters in the last few days or last few games. If Tennessee scores two plus touchdowns on them over Georgia, it'd be tough for them to get back in the game. By the way, Hooker over Levis. Only knocker on Hooker is his age. Thanks, guys. Do we think like NFL people really care about how old Hendon Hooker is?
I don't think that matters. I really don't. The difference between them, look. First of all, if you lined him up and ran a 40, I think Levis might win. Now, Hooker is a tremendous runner, and he's elusive, but I think Levis is a little bit better athlete, and the arm talent is different. Levis has he has a cannon. Hooker doesn't. Now, I value accuracy and decision-making.
Yes.
That's why I like Hooker more, but I'm just saying, look, this is what NFL people do. They are enamored with those things, and usually it doesn't work out, but when it does, well, you get Josh Allen.
JC in Goodlettsville texting in says, my gut says the Vols beat Georgia, but Bama wins a rematch in the SEC title game, and that could lead to the rubber match in the playoffs. And it'd probably be semifinals to eliminate an SEC from a national championship, avoiding an all-SEC final if they can. But it sure looks like Tennessee, Bama, Georgia, and either Ohio State and Michigan in the playoff. I don't know. Clemson's still undefeated. That's the thing. Like, we got somebody texting in asking about, like, other games to keep an eye on this weekend. I will say, I don't know if I'm comfortable picking this to happen outright. I am very intrigued by Clemson on the road at Notre Dame.
Agree.
I know Notre Dame's 5-3, and this is not like some great Notre Dame
team. But they're
team.
Playing better now.
They're playing better. They're at home. Clemson's only a 3.5-point favorite in that game. And Clemson, at some point, like if you screw around for half the game like they've done for a lot of their games so far this year, that's going to catch you at some point. But like if you're a Tennessee fan, you're pulling hard for Notre Dame tomorrow.
Yeah, and I think there's a chance that Notre Dame went in and thumped Syracuse.
Yep.
No, it's funny when you talk about Clemson. Well, it's quite a bit of them. I mean, Tennessee would blow out Clemson if they played.
I agree.
They'd blow them out, you know? I mean, in the end, it's what your resume says, and there's, like, as we've talked about, the idea of, like, three SEC teams, I mean, it's far-fetched. But I mean, I don't think it's close. I think well, and Georgia too. I mean, Georgia would blow out Clemson too this year. So, but I think that's possible. At TCU, you have to still consider them, even though TCU got badly disrespected at number seven. Right?
Seven.
They go undefeated and win that championship, then they're probably going to get in. So you got to root for them too to lose somewhere along the way.
615-737-1025. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans and the Chiefs. Take a look at that matchup, including some. Interesting news on the injury report yesterday for the Titans. That's next. But first, Joe Rexroad has a word from OrderGreen.com.
Yes, OrderGreen.com, nation's number one online shop for all things cannabis. A wide selection of high-quality THC and CBD products. I am a huge fan of OrderGreen.com. These products, they've been very beneficial to me. They've been beneficial to friends, family, including a friend of our family who struggling with a serious illness. And OrderGreen.com has become a very good friend of hers. Edibles, gummies, vapes, flowers, you name it, they got it. They got a knowledgeable team that can tell you about these products. And this means you know you're getting high-quality products. You also get nationwide same-day delivery to your doorstep. Get 25% off every shipment of gummies if you have a subscription to OrderGreen.com. And if you use promo code Joe20, you get 20% off your first purchase.